We don't deliver a lot of sermon type things here, and that's fine. The way I just felt his energy, I put a lot of notes this morning because I really didn't intend to bring this, but it fits. It fits now. Didn't fit earlier. But anyway, with that being said, I need to quit because we need to pray for you guys to send you out. So if it starts heading toward the top of the hour, just, yeah. Okay. What happened with this particular word was, first of all, what part of my prayer is, Lord, I want a hunger for your word, and I want to understand it. I want to know it. And the Lord loves that prayer because he'll answer it, and he'll answer it for you in your how it fits you and how it works with you. But I guess that if I put a title on this, it would be Remember Lot's Wife. Remember Lot's Wife. And how I became interested in this was, it was remote. I just happened to start watching a program, and they were talking about exploring the area where they're finding Sodom, or trying to, and trying to find the historical references and things like that. And it was not necessarily a program where people were of no faith. They just really had this thing to explore and find it. And I got a little bored with the program, but I was interested in Sodom and in that region and what happened there. I started to dig into it. And as I did, and as I started referencing it with the Bible and the scriptures and things like that, that the phrase just kept rolling around in my mind. It was, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. And I'm starting to think, okay, Lord, what is it about Lot's wife? What is it that we should know? And so I started to study it further, and there is an application that does fit us today. Now, in bringing that application, I'm traveling down a very narrow path. It's very easy to take the topics in that surround the Lot's wife and the context and just start going into all kinds of tangents, so I need to be specific and focused. There are a number of things that may come to your mind, and I'll say some things that perhaps you didn't think of before, and you're kind of going, well, you know, but, and then you're trying to marry up all these concepts and things and terms, and that's not the purpose. The purpose is really, remember, Lot's wife. Okay? All right, here we go. We don't really, I'm going to say this. There's an overarching parts of this particular lesson. On many levels, what we do, what we say, and how we think are incredibly important, even in this age of grace. And we've been talking about, like, breaking through the dimensions of heaven and experiences and where the Lord wants to take you and the relationship. And you know how you think does determine a lot of that.
Yes.
And if we don't recognize how we think and how we respond, and if we don't, critically important, if we don't recognize the move of His Spirit, what He is doing, we may miss it.
Right.
Terribly.
Yes.
So there's an angle here in this lesson, and I'm staying in that angle. And so, but you can draw many lessons from the whole dynamic of what Scripture says about Sodom, the cities of the plain, Abraham, intercession, Lot, how he was at first in the plains area, and then he moved into the gates of the city, and what it's fascinating stuff. You're not told a lot about it, so you have to kind of put some pieces together to get the fuller picture. So we don't know much about Lot's wife, aside from the context of Sodom. We know something about Lot. We know that he was a righteous man. We know that God rescued him. We know that he was slow to leave Sodom. All right, why? Why was he so slow to leave? And remember that a lot of the scriptural stories we get are fragments. We don't know everything that was discussed between the angels and Lot. Right? We just know the basic premise, but the basic message. But was there an argument going on? Was there, it's like, what do you mean? And, well, we want to pray for the city. We want to pray for all this. These are all these people. These are God's creatures, right? We don't know that. We just know that there came a point where Lot had to be removed with some force. Come on, let's go, right? And we can read the story real quick. I'll go ahead and just read through. Okay, we know that the angels came there. There was an intercession with Abraham, right? 10 righteous and what? City spared, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not just the city, probably the region would be spared, yes?
Yes, that's right.
So that, because that is God's grace in motion, in action. Mm-hmm. But there weren't 10 people in that whole region. Think about it. It wasn't just Sodom, it was also Gomorrah, and there are 3 other cities listed in Scripture. The cities of the plain, right? One was spared. Which one was that? Zoar. Because Lot wanted to go there. Amazingly, that city would have burned if Lot had done what God directed, which is flee to the mountains, right? Anyway, just a little bit of that, and you can get these pieces in the scriptures, right? There were more. There was more than Sodom. Sodom probably was the county seat, as it were, right? And so Sodom also became a symbol of wickedness, of worldliness, of rebellion. And it's thematic through Scripture. And in fact, there was a number of times in the prophets where the Lord said, "Yeah, and your sister Sodom," right? Which was what? A slam. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To tell, yeah, you're just as bad. Mm-hmm. But we also hear that, you know, Jesus referred to Sodom a number of times. And if Jesus had been on the scene and had done the things and the works, Sodom would have what? Repented. Mm-hmm. Right? But instead, it was that era. And so the ministry towards Sodom was over. Intercession was done. It's now time to execute. And so this is where we met Lot's wife misses. All right. So we've got the story of Sodom here. Now, again, the angels come, and we know that what happened there with the men wanted to get the angels and send them out that we may know them. And Lot says, no, don't do this thing. It's a wicked thing, and etc. So when the morning dawned, keep in mind, we've been there for hours. Yes.
Are you Genesis?
Genesis, yes. I'm sorry. Genesis 19. That's right. 19. Thank you. Genesis 19, I'm about in the middle of the chapter, verse 15. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, up, take your wife and your 2 daughters who are here, lest you be swept away in the punishment of the city. Now, there were also 2 potential sons-in-law, and we don't hear them mentioned. Okay, they probably decided to stay. But he hesitated, so the men seized his hand and the hand of his wife and the hands of the daughters, for the compassion of the Lord was upon him, and they brought him out and put him outside the city. And it came about, when they had brought him out, outside, that one said, escape for your life. Do not look behind you, and do not stay anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains, lest you be swept away. But Lot said to them, oh no, my lords. Mercy, grace. It's done. It's over. God is moving, yes? It's time to move where he says to go. Now behold, your servant has found favor. Your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have magnified your loving kindness, which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, lest the disaster overtake me and I die. Now behold, this is an argument going on now. Now behold, this town is near enough to flee to, and it's so small. Please let me escape there, that my life may be saved. And he said to him, behold, I grant you this request, also not to overthrow the town of which you have spoken. So that town would have, but because of grace, it wasn't. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there. Therefore the name of the town was called Zoar. The sun had risen over the earth when Lot came to Zoar. Now, there's a lot of grace going on here. A lot of grace. Arguing. Lord, but... right? Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities, made an example of them, for all time, and all the valley, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. But his wife, from behind him, looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. So we have that story. And kind of a side note, how did Sodom get to be like Sodom? Okay. Read Romans 1. Read Romans 1. That is a fast synopsis of what happens to societies and cities who ultimately reject God. Read Romans 1. It's the degeneration of man. So Sodom and that whole region became a wasteland. So what about Lot's wife? Wife of a righteous man, yes? Stayed behind Lot during the flight, but she turned her gaze at Sodom. And she turned into a pillar of salt. Now, was she a bad woman? Was she evil? Well, let's put a check on that. Maybe not. We don't know all her motivations there. We do in Luke 17, which I'll get to. There's some of the motivations revealed there. But was she an exceedingly wicked person? And I don't think so. I don't think so. In fact, her being a pillar of salt, she didn't explode. Fire didn't consume her. She didn't just melt down to a puddle or turn to dust or anything like that. She became a pillar of salt. And I'm thinking, okay, Lord, must be some message in that. Well, I started looking in the Hebrew words. The pillar is as it sounds. It's a pillar, right? That could be a supporting structure or something that's tall, something that is just strong. Yes, strength. Thank you. And then salt. Well, salt is a preservative. Salt is a purifier. She became that. I'm trying to say, well, is that because of those types, are they necessarily bad in themselves? No, they're not. But there was an act of disobedience there. And there was a turning back and casting her gaze on something. Why? And they all dawdled. Okay? Yeah. They all dawdled. It was having some force. So the thing is, here's some of these things that as I said, salt purifies, and there were, part of that land became a wasteland of salt. Okay? That was one of the elements there. Lot's wife may have turned during an attempt to offer prayer or intercession. May. Okay? But there could have been that heart pull of things and people or her home and all those things. But what she didn't recognize in that moment, it's too late for that. Judgment is being executed. A move of God is being executed. Intercession is done. Okay, now it's time to move on and move to the mountains, which they didn't do. But the mountains signify the higher places, right? Sanctuary, hiding, refuge. So her death was made an example. Perhaps there was too much identification with the people, with the city. Some people simply have a hard time with God's decrees and the way he moves. They have a hard time with that. But sometimes the sensitivity and the understanding of what he's doing is lost. Forgetting that it's a new era. It's changed. The whole thing is changed. Your life is changed. You move with God, and everything that occurred back there is back there.
Yep.
What we have ahead are the higher places. Right? You cannot keep looking back. It is just, in a sense, again, remember these are types. In a sense, they are destroyed. You cannot bring them back. Your old life, you cannot bring back. Those things, those that you've thrown in the trash or anything, you can't bring them back. It's gone. God, we're moving ahead. And again, here's the thing. In short, what happened? She missed it. We get so focused and so in the moment, and we're, well, I love my city. I love it. And I'm not saying, please, don't take me wrong.
Right.
I'm not saying that grace is all over. Here come the judgments. I'm staying in a narrow lane. And the narrow lane is this, simply, that you can get so focused, you can get so caught up in what you believe the Lord is telling you to do that you miss the moving of
yeah.
His Spirit.
Yeah.
Sodom, how glorious you were. It was so smart. People were so liberal, and they were so all this and that. They were worldly. They just seemed to have it together. Not really, but you know what I mean. It became a symbol of worldliness and wickedness and rebellion. And perhaps they felt, because Lot was at the city gates, that I'm helping. I'm helping the people to get them through and all that. And that is done. So, in short, was she terrible? Was she that bad? I don't know. Again, there's not much mentioned there. We do get capture a little bit in Luke 17. So, let's talk about that. Later in time, Jesus calls... is talking there. The discourse is regarding the second coming. Right? But, and there's clues. 17:32. Let's go there. Let's go to Luke. He said to his disciples, "The day shall come when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, 'Look there, look here.' Do not go away and do not run after them. For just as the lightning, when it flashes out of one part of the sky, shines to the other part of the sky, so will the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer many things to be rejected by this generation." I'll skip down a little bit. Oh, well, no, it's important. Just as what happened in the days of Noah, so it shall be also be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage. So life is normal. Verse 28, and it was the same as happened in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, they were building. Life as normal. But on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just the same on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, let not the one who is on the housetop and those and whose goods are in the house go down to take them away. And likewise, let not the one who is in the field turn back. Remember Lot's wife. So we have, and this also works and fits with what happened to Jerusalem when it was destroyed in 70 AD. It was a terrible time. That was awful. That was an awful battle, the culmination of the Jewish wars there. There was one more battle, which was the Masada campaign, but it was awful. The Jews all fought to get against each other. They burned each other's food stores. They could have lasted a lot longer, but it was never to be. And in that infighting and factionalism, here come the Romans on top of that. Well, then they rallied and fought against the Romans, it was just a horrible time. But during that time, too, it is said that when the Romans appeared, there was an avenue and a window of time to escape. Don't go back. Don't cast your gaze on the city. It's not going to be preserved. And they all talked about this. Again, we get fragments like from the book of Acts and things like that. They talked about this. Jesus prophetically revealed, and it's in the Gospels, that no stone unturned on the temple. What does that mean? That means some army probably is going to come and lay siege and literally destroy it. They knew this. When you see the times, go and don't look back. Don't go, oh, the Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the temple, Lord, you must save. Okay, if you get caught, and what happened, they did catch a few, what did they do? Executed them. So, anyway, just a little, that's a little side story. I'm going to close in about five. So let me sum up these things. Eras change, times change, and they come and they go. Nothing really stays the same. And that's something that we have to keep in mind.
Yeah, it's good.
And you can't bring back the old era.
That's right.
We have to let it go. We can't cast our gaze. Oh, those were the days. There are better days ahead.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
There are mountains ahead.
Amen.
And the Lord is trying to move us into that.
Yes.
And again, if we look back and we say, oh, but my stuff is there. Yeah. I have history there. I have injuries. I have things. Right?
Yep. Yep.
And I just got to go get it.
Yeah.
No. We have to pay attention to what God is doing now, and when he moves, to be ready to move with him.
Yes.
Because there's consequences of missing. And even in New Testament times, folks, in the age of grace, the consequences of missing can be pretty tired.
That's
okay?
Right.
This is not a game that we're playing. This is real life.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The consequences could be death. It could be things like developing Moabs and Ammons, enemies. Remember the story, right? Lot made it with his daughters and produced Israel's enemies because of Lot's wife being disobedient. Staying in the valley instead of moving to the higher places, which also signified what? Authority. We all have a mission and a purpose and a destiny in Christ. But we also have a duty to pay attention and move when he says, it's time.
Yes. Yes.
Again, this is I'm just reiterating. Don't be so attached to your place, your purpose even, that you can't leave it when the time comes. Because when he says, I'm done with that, I'm moving now, that means we move too. So we take a moment, let's take a moment and weigh things out. Speaking rhetorically, are you holding on to something too tight? Are there belongings that you would go back for? And why? And with the belongings, I'm using that term loosely, right? Ministry could be a belonging. Are you willing to pick up and move where God is telling you to go? Or are you going to argue? Are you holding on to your too tight to your perceived missions, callings, and gifts? Can you let those go? So much energy is spent trying to save our Sodom and to fix things, right? Is the Lord trying to move us into different places and mountains and dimensions where we are better suited?
Right.
These are just questions. You have to chew on it and think it through. Our position is, Lord, save, defend, and preserve what you see fit. But move us, direct us accordingly, and sensitize us when you're doing so. Sometimes the Lord, somebody mentioned that today. We say no. We argue. And you have an example there with Lot. Mm-hmm. We're fussing. We fuss too much.
Yeah.
But keep in mind, folks, there are consequences if we don't.
Yeah.
So Lord, pull on us harder.
Yes.
If we're not getting it. Yes. And help us to not look back or turn back when you move us.
Yeah.
I'm going to close. And the people that are going out to the prayer assignment. Oh, go ahead.
Thank you, John. Thank you.
That was good.
Thank you.
You
did
very well.
So with that, I want to, because what I sense in the spirit was fear, right? I sense fear in people that they're going to potentially miss what God has for them. And I think the whole service has, it's been a theme, and it's a heart theme. So what's in your heart? What do you leave in your heart? What are you willing to, my prayer has always been, Lord, I may not be willing, I may not be smart enough to realize what's going on right now, but help me. Help me in my weakness. Help me in that. And he is so faithful.
Amen.
It's about your heart and what's in your heart and, you know, the clinging on to things as your security and whatnot. So I really appreciated that message,
yes.
But I want to also bring the side of there's hope. You
yes.
trust in
yes.
God.
That's true.
He's
yes.
going to get you through.
Right.
Think what he did for Lot and his family. I mean,
yeah.
the length
yeah.
of that he went to save them yeah. out of that, you know.
Yes.
There are consequences to some decisions we make. We've all had consequences, right, from various decisions. So take hope, take heart. God is so good. He's so
yes, he is.
Big.
Yes.
He is
yes.
so big. I mean,
yes.
it's sometimes I think, oh, I really messed that up. And he's like, Kathy, I'm right over here. I have another path. I'll get you there. You know, I mean, he's very graceful and gracious and merciful and everything like that. So I wanted to throw that side in, too.
Amen.
What up, guys?
That was
we don't want to be a monument to the old.
Right.
That's what Lot's wife turned into.